Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
On this very special Memorial Day, we still have 969 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, 14 seconds left of this goddamn Obama nightmare. I don't care if it's Memorial Day or not. Yes, we must remember them. We must honor them. Not with a goddamn barbecue. Not with a parade. But the barbecue, the parade inside, that's where it counts. Actually, I was thinking about this. You know what? I think maybe if we just kept the barbecues like on Veterans Day or another day. But on a day like this, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe we ought to take the barbecues down on Monday. Maybe have the barbecue on Sunday. But on Monday, bring the barbecues down. And actually, well, I don't know, contemplate and think about, well, what the day actually means. Well, I did a little bit of homework. I knew some stuff. And I seen something. This was, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it was on Facebook. And I did a little bit of research. And it looks like it's true. So we're going to cover a little bit of that. Raquel Oikiai. I finally get pronounce her name right. I've been pronouncing it something else. I do that. Those of you who've never heard me before, I suffer from a chronic broken left-handed tongue, and there's just not a goddamn thing in the world I can do about it. I trip over myself all the damn time, but I keep moving. And that's what it takes. You got to keep moving. You can't blink. You can't go to sleep. You can't blink. You can't turn around. I mean, you got to be looking, man. And wherever you see a fire, you got to put it out. But Raquel Oikiai from humanevents.com wants to join us this evening to talk about her brand new article on Benghazi. Can't leave that alone. I'm sorry. I know it bores the living hell out of the left. I mean, yeah, you know, four Americans killed and a whole bunch of them really seriously wounded. And God only knows what the real number of dead is because we don't have the real... We don't have the real numbers of how many people are really over there. Yeah, fine, CIA, stupid secret missions and whatnot. But nevertheless, four is enough. I think four is plenty. One is all it took. Even if there was none, the fact that they attacked, hello, that's still American soil. Well, it's supposed to be considered American soil. Oh, that's right. You didn't switch it to embassy because you were... Yeah, that's right. You were facilitating weapons deals to Al-Qaeda. Oh, and you wanted to show them. Oh, see, yeah, we're trustworthy. See, we're not going to attack you. Don't worry about it. See, we got rid of all of our security sentiment. All of our ships, yeah, just send them back into port. Yeah, give them a little R&R there in Thailand. Oh, yeah. Send them here, send them there, send them into Hong Kong. Don't have them anywhere near where all the action is, where all the heat is. Oh, God damn, no. Taco night on at the base. Kim Kardashian's on. Ah, we can't get there on time. Plus, we're tired. We're doing drills all day. Let's just blame it on a video. Well, that's what they did. Now, this jackwagon goes out there today, gives a speech, making me want to puke. Putting a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier. First of all, I think their staff or his staff should have scheduled the Afghanistan surprise trip. Gee, how convenient. Let's put a few more carbon footprints on the planet. Spend a few more gazillions of friggin' dollars getting there and coming back. So you can give an 11-minute speech that ain't from the heart. It's from your goddamn teleprompter. What the hell's he out there talking about? We need to do everything because he wants to let the veterans know that the president is on his side. Well, here's what you do to let them know that you're in on their side. All those veterans that need help should be in the hospital right frickin' now. Every damn one of them. I don't care where you got to go. You find a barn. Get a few doctors in there. Put some beds in there. Clean out the hay and the horse poo. Do whatever you got to do. But let's get some doctors and let's get some nurses and a whole bunch of medicine and some beds and some goddamn care. That, Mr. President, is what they're looking for. They're not looking for another goddamn speech. I'm certainly not. I'm sick and freaking tired of these goddamn speeches. No more tweets. No more speeches. God damn it, I can't take it anymore. How about some action to follow up all that crap? Huh? I mean, come on. So you fly all the way to Afghanistan to tell the troops that you're on their side. And you're pulling out. At the end of the year, we're done. We're out. So Al-Qaeda, yeah, that's, you know, come in, you know, about a week before. We'll give you the keys and, you know, give you a tour of the place. Jesus, God damn it. What is this man doing? I mean, what side is this man on? I don't know. I haven't quite been able to figure that one out. His actions tell me he's on their side. But his little teleprompter tells, you know, oh, yeah, we don't stop for nothing, and I won't tolerate any kind of this, and period. Don't give me no more periods. I think your brain is on its period. There's a freaking mini pad and shut up. God damn it. What the hell? What is this man doing? I mean, what more evidence do we need? We don't need any more committees. Trey Gowdy, love you. I am your ally. If you need a civilian in your little committee, somebody you want from the just the normal public that wants to do nothing but sit there and feed you questions to ask, I'm your man. You may need me to do a little bit of research? Fine. I'm your man. You need me on the team? I'm your man. I'm behind you. I support you. I want to know when this committee is going to get going, first of all. However, but before we get to that, we don't need any more committees. We have enough now where we need to start, bringing in some grand juries, you know, where there's real crimes that have been committed. Now, I know this committee might find this and might find that, but I just have a very sad feeling in my heart that his hands are going to be tied by John Boehner because he's already made a whole bunch of deals with Nancy Pelosi. So they could put people on this stupid committee. And that stupid Elijah Cummings, that man has no business being on that committee. That man has no business being in government, period. I mean, what this man did was criminal. Again, I know you can't arrest the entire government because next time you get a Republican in, all the Democrats are going to try to arrest the Republicans and back and forth. But we've got a lot of crimes here. These aren't, you know, blue stained dresses and, you know, this kind of thing. No. People are dead. They died. And their deaths meant so little to this government that they would blame it on a video and lie. To the parents' faces. Yeah, we're gonna go get that filmmaker there. Yeah, we're gonna have him prosecuted. How dare him do this? What? Exercise his First Amendment right? How dare him exercise his First Amendment right? Excuse me, Miss Clinton. But that's his right. And even so, let's just for argument's frickin' sakes. Just imagine here for just one moment that because of this video, which we've all seen, it was just a spoof. It was a YouTube video. Whatever. I mean, I've seen a hell of a lot of worse crap on YouTube. Trust me. Trust me. There's some crap on YouTube. All kinds of weird, wacky, crazy, bizarre, just whacked out crap on YouTube. There's whacked out things everywhere you go. But let's just imagine here for a moment that this cockamamie video set everything on fire, got them all riled up, got all the boys together, brought in all their, you know, their spare missiles and mortars and machine guns and all kinds of explosives, and God only knows what the hell they had. This video was really, truly the freaking cause. I hate to use the words of Miss Clinton, but what the hell difference does it make? They're dead. They're dead because of you. This entire administration, you facilitated their death. God only knows if there wasn't one or both of you in the planning of it. I hate to say that kind of crap, but I mean, the evidence sometimes supports this kind of stuff. I don't want to go down that road, so I'm really not going to, you know, test it out for too damn long. But, I mean, it does make you kind of ponder a little bit. I mean, why would you sell weapons to Al-Qaeda? Well, not sell them, but facilitate the, you know, get the ball rolling and make sure that the weapons transfer goes through. Why would you do that? These are the people. You knew damn good and well they were going to go into their hands. And then something happened where somebody found out. So then you tried to get them back? I mean, see, this whole story, none of this crap makes any sense. I mean, you know, we do have the most transparent, you know, administration in American political history. So you would expect all this information to be out. We wouldn't have to speculate and get information third, fourth, fifth, freaking God knows how many times hands. Have it reported. God only knows what's true and what isn't. But we have the most transparent, you know, transparent administration. So we got all the information we need, which is just forget about it because it's boring. Well, what did happen? This is what I hope that this committee finds out. What happened? Why can't he subpoena the president? Oh, you might embarrass him. He'd have to tell the truth. We can't have that. Excuse me. But that's the whole point of being, I mean, I'm sorry. I understand there are certain things that you can't make public. And for good reason. Everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. But what we don't get is when you are told face to face by a general and your defense secretary to your face, Mr. President, yeah, our embassy there in Benghazi, well, you see, it's on fire. They're attacking. We have no idea where our ambassador is. It's pretty hairy. A lot of things are happening. So can we get some troops going, maybe, you know, perhaps? Well, let me think about it. I got to go upstairs with Valerie and eat. Michelle's waiting. She gets a little uppity if I show up to dinner late. So I better get in there. Don't want that little wifey poo getting upset with me now. So he goes on up there with Valerie. Meanwhile, Ambassador Stevens is being raped, cattle prodded, tortured, burnt. This son of a bitch is up there eating tofu salad. Make sure that he's got a healthy diet. Then he gets done with dinner, and he remembers, oh, God, I pissed off Benjamin Netanyahu. I better try to see if I can, you know, repair that relationship a little. So he gets on the phone, him and Valerie again. What is she up his ass? So they get on the horn with Netanyahu. Now, how long do you think it should take to, you know, make amends? You know, seriously. Like, can you do that with people that you know. You call them up a little later and say, hey, man, sorry, blah, 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 blah. It don't take very long, right? No. 2 hours. Benghazi's burning. The ambassador's all raped up, stabbed up, cattle prodded up, burnt up, dead up. 2 hours later, Valerie, she goes down there to the Situation Room to take charge, and that's when we have no idea where the president was. So he should subpoena the president. Mr. President, where were you? Why did Valerie Goebbels go down to the Situation Room and take control? Well, that's your job. She's an advisor. And if you're going to have her in the Situation Room, well, she needs to sit in the corner and shut up. Unless you ask her a question and she gives you, well, her advice. Hence the frickin' term, advisor. So where were you, Mr. President? Huh? I mean, here this guy is. We have no idea. Did he go up? Did he go to sleep? I know he had a long plane ride. And then he got inconvenienced because he had to give a speech. Maybe that's what he was doing. So Valerie Goebbels goes down to the Situation Room, not to control the battle in Benghazi, but to control the spin. So they're planning their speech. They're not only planning the president's speech the next day in the Rose Garden, but they're also planning the talking points of when Susan Rice is to appear on all five frickin' Sunday morning talk shows. So it wasn't about saving these men's lives. It was about saving the, well, you can't call it integrity, but of the president. There's nothing integrity about this man. Or there's nobody in government anymore that's got integrity. I don't think you can get to government if you don't have integrity. There are guys that you do have, you've got some admiration. But we've been burned by these guys so many goddamn times. Daryl Issa, I can't believe what you did to me, man. You stabbed me right in the frickin' back, man. You broke my heart, man. And I love Gomer from Texas. I love this guy. Trey Gowdy, love him. Chaffetz. There's good people. Michelle Bachmann, she's a fighter, man. She's gone now. Somebody else is going to take her place. God only knows. It's frickin' Minnesota. What the hell happened to Minnesota, for Christ's sakes? I think that was Mondale. Wasn't Mondale in Minnesota? Whatever. There's a lot of states that I don't know what the hell happened. I'm sick and tired of having to live in a liberal state, man. Born in Washington, lived there forever. Joined the Navy, stationed in California, lib. New York, lib. Everywhere I go, goddamn liberal, liberal, liberal. Both coasts are liberal. I love the coast, though, man. I love New York. How could you not love New York? I mean, come on. What's not there to love in New York? Want the trees and wilderness? Yeah, I got it right here. I got foxes in my backyard. You need more of it? Just go upstate. Just, cross the damn island. You want a big city? You got all the big city you can handle. You got everything you need. Snow, the ocean, everything. Mountains, you name it. Deer hunting, fishing, whatever. There's beauty in every state. But the politics, I can't figure it out. Colorado? I got a lot of relatives in Colorado. A lot of history in Colorado. Both my parents were born in Colorado. On my mom's side, both of my grandparents were born here. They were one of the first kids born over in the new country. And I used to know, they're brothers and sisters. Of course, they're, dead. If not, they'd be, well in the hundreds. But how he could get up there today and make a speech, knowing full well that he was not interested in saving anyone's lives in Benghazi, but he'll make a speech on Memorial Day and lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier, and he'll fly all halfway across the goddamn globe to give an 11-minute speech to the troops. So they feel warm and fuzzy, and they walk away, feeling great. Oh, yes, I really believe the president's got my back. I support him all the way. That's not what they're after, Mr. President. They're not after a speech. They're after the action. You see, when they get back from the action, and they're, messed up in the squash, They're missing a leg, missing an arm, missing all kinds of stuff. They need help. They need real help. They need care. They're not a they're not a billet number. Okay? They're not a stack of paperwork. These are humans. Real humans. Flesh and blood people. Whether they're veterans or not, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do believe veterans should get some care. Snap, snap. But the point is, they're people. I mean, if we're going to consider ourselves a civilized society, we need to start showing it. And putting veterans on secret lists, for Christ's sake, how you can do that to anybody, I just don't know. I don't know how you could do that. I just don't know. I want to know who the people are that decided who gets put on this list and who doesn't. I want the person who actually wrote it in, typed it in, however it got in. I want that person. I want their ass. That's murder. I'm sorry. It's murder. Murder. You didn't give them the disease or whatever they had. But you might as well have. You denied their care. Now these people have nowhere. They had nowhere else to go. They couldn't afford a real doctor. No, I mean, I don't mean a real doctor, but I mean a public doctor. A private doctor, that's what I'm trying to say. Good God. Shot of rum, maybe it might perk me up a bit. But how you can possibly put somebody's name on a list knowing full well. Basically, you're the one, like the Gestapo. They went out there, well, the Gestapo, the whoever it was, the Nazi creeps, whatever. Went out there, decided which Jew was going to go on the train and which one wasn't. Which ones were going to be spared to work until they dropped, or which ones were going to go through the goddamn gas chamber and die immediately. Well, not really immediately. They kind of suffered a while. Gassed. It was probably terrifying and horrible. Probably wouldn't want to watch it. That's why they, you know, had no windows and they were away from it. They didn't want to see it. See, it broke their heart to have to kill all these people. So they tried to find humane ways where it would make the killers feel better. So they wouldn't get their sensitivities out of whack. So these people want to get off early on Friday, so they put people on a list. Oh, look at me. I cleaned up. I did all that work. Look at this. All the numbers are squared away. Look at the books, man. They're great. Let's get that bonus now. These people get bonuses. How the hell can you get bonuses for this kind of crap? Well, the bonuses were handed out, but once, if there wasn't this scandal, if people didn't know about it, you think for one second that that bonus would be rescinded? No. No. That would have been spent on a new car, a new boat, a new pool, something. Who knows? This is more than just losing your job. This is about life. This is a crime. I believe there should be some arrests made. Why the police isn't involved in it, I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. I know if I was to put somebody like on a list and deny their care, to make sure that they died, pretty sure I'd have to go to trial. Pretty sure I'd have to get, you know, a defense attorney. I don't think even old Johnny Cochran, if he were alive, would be able to get me off. And rightly so. But here, these people don't get trials. No, they get another hearing where they can just plead the fifth after they make a statement. So why is that? How can that be? How can that be? Maybe we need to pass a law where Congress has to abide by the same laws as all the citizens. Why do you think that we would have to pass a law like that? I don't know. But I mean, normal people, people with, like, common sense, that would have to be as well. I mean, can they get away with murder? Huh? If you're a Democrat, you can. Yeah. If you're a Clinton or a Kennedy or... Jesus, God almighty. That's another reason why I don't believe in these goddamn political parties. Republican, Democrat, they're for corruption and corruption purposes only. Who's got the bigger club and who can gather the most money? That's all it's about to them, money and re-election, so they can make more money. That's nothing to do with running the country. And looking out for the country's best interest is to stay out of the goddamn way. Let us decide for ourselves what is the best interest for us. You don't decide that for me. I don't care. I don't care if greasy cheeseburgers are bad for me. They're good. I don't care if bacon will give you this, bacon will give you that, this will give you this, and this will give you that. If I want to eat it, I'm going to eat it. And I really don't give a damn. Yeah. Do I think people should, you know, bring out the word, hey, you know, if you eat a bunch of McDonald's all the time, you're going to get fat. Clogs up your arteries, but leave it at that. And so what if people are fat? That's their life. If they want to be fat, that's fine. I don't care. But see, to them, liberals are all about the aesthetics. They look at a fat person as repulsive. They don't like fat people. You want to talk about prejudice? Everything about a goddamn liberal is prejudice. Everything. They claim they're all of this. They claim they're all of that, but they're not. Everything a liberal tells you they're for, they're against. Everything they tell you they're against, they're for. I don't know how people could live that big of a lie all the time. How do you do that? How do you convince yourself that you're not lying? I mean, the goddamn evidence is overwhelming. Oh, no, that didn't happen. No, it's right there. Yeah. He still got the murder weapon in his hand. No. No, what you saw is what you saw. It's a phony scandal. People aren't going to lose any sleep over this. Let it go. It was a long time ago. No, it wasn't. It was only like not even a minute ago. Blood still squirting out of his neck. No, that's just... I still can't believe the president spoke today. He should have done something. I don't know, come up with an excuse. He got sick. He got a cold. He had to play golf. They had a flat tire there in Afghanistan, and they had to wait. Something. But he shouldn't have showed up. And there was some reports of veterans saying that it was, it just tarnished, you know, with the VA scandal. It just tarnished the whole ceremony. It didn't have any meaning. Especially knowing full well that what used to be our, you know, motto, is leave no man behind. This man, no. No. His duty is to leave all men behind. As long as it's not him. Or somebody that he needs to pass more of his agenda, then they'll protect him. But to give a speech, just a hollow, meaningless, just disingenuous, disgraceful, pathetic, it's absolutely pathetic that he would even get up there. I mean, how can you do that, knowing full well that you knew and you campaigned on fixing the VA, and you were warned of these specific problems that are going on right here, right now? You knew these problems, and you said you were going to fix it. Blah, 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 and you doubled the budget. Well, if you doubled the budget, why isn't any of the problems fixed? What did you do with that money? Where did that money go? Well, to hire more people? What, more office people? To do what? More clerical stuff? To do what? How about nurses, doctors? You know, did you build another wing to the frickin' hospital? Did you transfer some of these people? Maybe some of these guys could be transferred to another hospital somewhere else, perhaps. You know, maybe they got a couple extra beds that are open. You can figure something out. These are people. These are human goddamn beings. You don't just leave them on the freaking street. They were out there in the goddamn jungles, the tigers, and out there in the goddamn deserts. Fighting for your dumb ass? Are you going to put them on a secret list? Because you want to clean up your goddamn paperwork so you can go home early? You don't want to be bothered? Well, I'm pretty sure when these guys were, you know, in the jungle at 125-degree heat, pack and a goddamn 50 cal, boots and a helmet, ammo, canteen, God only knows what else they got on them. Humping that through the goddamn jungle at 125 frickin' degrees. You got Charlie shooting at you in all goddamn directions. You think maybe they didn't want to be bothered with that? But you don't want to be bothered with putting somebody on a list? So you can go home early? Because you've got a party to get to? I'm sorry, but I find that's murder. It's murder, 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 murder. You put somebody on a list, knowing full well they're not going to get any care. That's murder. If they die, that's murder. If they don't die, that's attempted murder. Period. I want the people who actually put them on the list. Then I want the people, well, not then, but also at the same time, simultaneous. I want the commanders, all the people that authorized it. I want the complete goddamn chain of command. I want from the littlest little guy all the way up to the big dog. I want that big dog. I want that big dog. I wonder who that dog is. I wonder who that big dog is. Who is that big dog? Valerie Goebbels, perhaps? She seems to be involved in just about everything, doesn't she? Is she running the goddamn country? No wonder we're in a goddamn mess we are. I mean, for what this guy has not done for the living and the dying soldier, now we're supposed to believe all these empty words that you're going to do what? You're not going to stand for it? Stand for what? You didn't say anything. The man said absolutely frickin' nothing. Supposed to do with these words of yours, huh? Roll them up and smoke them? What am I supposed to do with them? They don't mean anything. They don't do anything. You got no action to follow up. How many times have we heard him say, period, and keep your doctor and your plan, period. I won't tolerate this, period. I won't do that, period. I will close Guantanamo Bay, period. I mean, Jesus God Almighty. I mean, now you got Democrats that are out there finally starting to realize this man's incompetent. He doesn't seem to give a damn. I mean, the more scandals there are, I mean, just the more aloof he gets. I mean, how he could go to sleep. First of all, how when somebody comes up to you, you got a general and or whoever he is, chief of staff, whoever the hell, he's a big general, whoever the hell he was. But it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a goddamn buck private. I don't give a damn. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, man, the embassy's on fire. The ambassador's missing. The place is burning. They're attacking us with mortar, machine guns. God only knows what the hell they got. Doesn't matter who tells you. Anybody tells you. Well, you find out, is this true? Well, yes, sir, it is true. Okay. Whoever's in the area, get there. Get there now. Start whooping up on some ass. But did he do that? No. No. Well, thanks, boys. Okay, well, I got to go upstairs and eat. So he goes upstairs and eats. And Valerie followed. Wonder what they had for dinner that night. Wonder what it was. Was it tofu? I wonder if they ate that tofu. I refuse to eat tofu. I hate tofu. I hate that stupid name, tofu. Don't give me tofu. Sounds like something off your toe. What is it, like butt cheese? I ain't eating it. I'm not eating it. I don't even know what it is. I've never had it, and I never will. I just don't like the name. I don't eat names. I just don't eat food. I just don't like the name.
Oh, but it's delicious. Oh, it's good. So it's this. It's organic.
Organic? Shut up. People don't even know what that is. I mean, this is just organic. All right, getting back to Memorial Day, which is today. And I still believe Memorial Day should not be. I think the barbecue should be on Sunday. You want to have the parades and the barbecues and the fireworks and the whole to-do, have it on Sunday, but on Monday, no. That's what I'm saying. Spend the Saturday. You can have a two for day. Saturday and Sunday, fine. Monday, no. Monday should not be a day for barbecuing. But it is, it's part of, you know, American, they love to celebrate. Human beings love to celebrate anything with food. Anytime you celebrate anything, you got to have food. Doesn't matter what it is. Ramadan, well, you don't eat all day, but when the sun goes down, you chow. And the Jews, they got, those satyrs, they got food. Of course, it takes them forever before they finally get to the main course. When I was a kid, we grew up Lutheran, and we would do satyrs on Passover. The same stuff as the Jews did. Same. You dip the parsley in there, you know, in the salt water. And you got, you know, that apple stuff. That apple stuff was good, man. You put it on those matzah. Yeah. So we did that. I guess Christians celebrate. I'm not really that spiritual. Really not that religious. I've forgotten a lot of stuff that I learned. And a lot of it I didn't learn because my mind was on something else. Just the kind of guy I am. But anyway, getting back to Memorial Day. In that, the barbecue should be on Sunday. And today should be the day of a little more somber. That's my point that I'm trying to make. Go to the cemetery, lay some wreaths down, lay some flowers, clean up the plot there a little bit, make it look good. Remember that day. Remember them. Why they're there. Give thanks. Not with shaking their hand. Not with a parade, not with a barbecue. But give thanks inside. You got to find that inside of you. You got to find that. Whatever it is. That thanks has got to be inside. You can't find thanks and gratitude in a teleprompter. You can only find it in the heart. But you got to have it in the mind. But you got to find it in that heart. You got to find that thanks there. But on Memorial Day, look, people have been honoring the dead and remembering the dead since people have been people. There's nothing wrong with it. It is, I think it's great to do. And I think we should do it. We should honor and give thanks to those who died for you. Think about that. They gave up their life so you could have a better life. So that thanks has to come in the heart. That has to come inside. You can walk up and shake their hand. That's fine. You can throw a parade. Ticker tape parade. But unless you have it in the heart, it's meaningless. So if you're going to fly halfway across a goddamn globe to give a meaningless speech, Mr. President, stop wasting the taxpayers' money. Stop wasting the military's time. Stop wasting the country's time. And just resign. There was no reason for you to fly over to Afghanistan. There was no excuse for that. For what? To try to save your ass? Again, it's all about aesthetics. Well, the spinmeisters are going to work. Well, Mr. President, yeah, we're down in the polls and in here, down in the polls and there. Maybe you should fly to Afghanistan and give an 11-minute speech. That'll perk things up. Yeah, I'm sure it will. But anyway, I thought it'd be kind of fun to learn a little bit of history. So, some of the stuff, again, I remembered, and some of it I found. And again, I found this, it was like a couple of weeks ago. Somebody sent it in a Facebook post. But as most people in most communities all over the world, doesn't matter what color you are, you honor your dead in some way. You have respect for them, and in certain cases, you honor those that died for you, like in this case. But there's many cities and towns, they claim that they have the birthplace of Memorial Day. Well, I'm sure that there was a lot of cities and a lot of towns that wanted to memorialize the dead. Gettysburg. But I did find this one. Again, it was a Facebook post. Whether it was true or not, I don't know, but I did do a little bit of investigating, and I found something else that, well, it matched. So I thought, okay, that's a twofer. Got to be true. And if it isn't, okay, fine. I lied. But it's a good story nevertheless. But since Memorial Day was actually, it started for the Civil War veterans, started for those that died in the Civil War. Well, May 1, 1865, in Charleston, South Kakalaki, former slaves, on May 1, 1865, in Charleston, South Carolina, honored 257 dead Union soldiers who had been buried in a mass grave in a Confederate prison camp. These former slaves dug up the bodies and worked for 2 weeks to ensure that they got a proper burial as gratitude for fighting for their freedom. Now, that right there, that is what this day is about. Not saying that you got to go dig up somebody and rebury them and give them a proper burial. But the meaning of these men felt so much that these men died for my freedom. I no longer have chains on my wrists and chains on my ankles. I'm no longer in that goddamn cotton field. No longer have my Mazda whooping me. So I appreciate what these men did for me. So they dug him up and they gave him a proper burial. And I'm pretty sure it stunk. Probably didn't bother him. They just kept working. That's gratitude, man. That's the spirit. That's the spirit right there. This should not be a day of barbecues. This should be a day of remembrance. It should be a more somber day. That's all. That's my point. Maybe I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. But I just think this day should not be a day of, you know what I mean, all this and all that, and the stupid. When I was in the car business, we always had a Memorial Day car sale. People coming out of Memorial Day, got to buy a car. It's no longer about the day of why these men died for them. It's about, well, I get a good deal on a new car. Well, I got all these steaks and burgers and dogs. Got the in-laws coming over. Neighbor kids will probably show up. So we're just going to have a big feast. It's a celebration. It's a party. Got plenty of beer. Ball game is on. Yeah, but what's the day for? Well, I don't know. I get the day off. It's a little inconvenient. The goddamn banks are closed, but I got a debit card. I can use an ATM. That's all it worries about these people. That's all it cares about. It's not about the day. It's not about all these people that died. It's about the festivity, the little party, the good deal at the mattress factory, the good deal at the car lot, good deal at the appliance store. Jesus, God. I mean, this country is so out of frickin' whack. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you want to celebrate and have a, you know, a to-do, but I mean, the problem is when the celebration and the to-do is all about the celebration and the to-do and not about why the day was created in the first frickin' place. So I just thought that was kind of cool. They did have a party and they did celebrate. They had over 10,000 people, 2,800 little black kids, marched in the front, and they sang and they celebrated. Exactly what day it was, who started it, nobody really knows, but there was a lot of them. But it was officially proclaimed Decoration Day on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order Number 11. A general order. I wonder, he got a magic pen, too, like Obama did. Of course, his was probably a feather. Well, he proclaimed the 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. General John Logan, 5th of May, 1868, General Order Number 11. And he picked that date, Decoration Day, because it was no anniversary of any particular battle. So it had its own separate day. But no, we had to turn around. We had to make it more convenient for everybody so everybody can get a three-day weekend. So we can have more parties. I understand the parties. I understand that this. I understand it. I get it. I don't have a problem with the parades. I don't have a problem with the barbecues. I don't have a problem with the fireworks and the celebrations. But we should have it on Sunday, and on Monday, you got to clean up the mess. That's a day of remembrance. Take down the barbecues. Sweep up all the fireworks remnants. That's just my opinion. But, I mean, that's me. I'm weird. I know. So what? I don't expect people to follow exactly what I'm saying. I'm sure a lot of people disagree, and I don't care. But I just want to go back to having, I know there's a lot of Christians who get upset with Christmas, too. I guess I can see their point. I mean, that's a day, you know, baby Jesus. It wasn't Santa Claus. So, I guess what I'm really saying is, yeah, you can have the parties and you can have the fireworks and the barbecues and the this, but you still got to have it in the heart. You got to take some time and remember why you're having this day. But if your whole day is consumed with the party rather than why you have this day off, then you're missing the point. And that's where the problem is. That's what I'm trying to say. It needs to be inside. Actually, there's some more to this now. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 participants decorated the graves of the 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. The South, however, refused to acknowledge that day, honoring their dead on separate days, until after World War I, when the holiday was changed in honoring just, instead of just those who died in the Civil War, was to be honoring all Americans who died in any battle, which is a good idea. Which should have been anyway, but the Civil War really affected a lot of people. And I have a very strange feeling that we're going to head in that goddamn direction again. The people didn't like the Civil War, but they were fighting it. There was a lot of memorials. There was a lot of people that were on both sides. You know, I mean, it just was, it was what it was. And there was a lot of people that didn't want to have the war. And they didn't care that they were Confederate or Union. They were treated as people. I don't understand why human beings can't solve their problems, but without eventually going into a full-scale war that people have to die. They got to kill. I guess it's nature. Maybe that trait will never be taken out of the human race. I don't know. But I do know that if you use just a little common sense, and you don't rock the boat just to rock the boat, you have a reason to rock that boat. And if you got a reason, then you rock it. But if you don't, sit down and shut up. But this is something I didn't know. Several southern states have additional separate day for honoring the Confederate. Still to this day, January 19th in Texas, April 26th in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, 10th in South Carolina, and June 3rd, which is Jefferson Davis's birthday, in Louisiana and Tennessee. I did not know that. That's interesting. I don't think the North has any day, not that I've heard of. But there's nothing wrong with honoring the dead. But if you're going to honor the dead, you need to honor it. You need to honor it from inside, not from a barbecue, not from the fireworks, not from swimming in the lake, not with all the little parties and all the little drinks and the booze and the beer and the nachos and guacamole, watching the ball games, not in that. For a nation that prides itself on its military strength, which we do, we used to be the strongest, we used to pride ourselves on military strength, and our love for the soldier, we were all, look, when I was a kid, I mean, soldiers were always, you know, yeah, the VA was always a mess, and this was always a mess, and there was always people that didn't like soldiers, oh, because they kill, yeah. But, I mean, Americana. I mean, we used to pride ourselves on our military strength and our love for the soldier. Yet, when our troopers return home, I mean, they're treated as if they're some kind of burden, a freaking hassle, a bore. They're getting in the way. They want to go home early. They got to clean the books because their boss is up their ass. And if they don't clean out the books, they're going to have to stay all weekend. They might get in trouble. Maybe they might get fired. So just clean the books and make it look good. Put all, just, I guess, randomly pick people and put them on a list. Oh, look at that. Yeah, we cleaned our books up. Oh, yeah, everybody's getting help. Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the government, they go out there, they love to talk a big game. Oh, we're going to help the VA. And citizens, they're always talking, and they're on their Facebook posts and their tweets. God bless America. Well, we support the troops. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody's doing anything. We still have Sergeant Tamarussi still in a Mexican jail. And what is being done? Oh, that's right. John Kerry was in Mexico City, and he brought up the issue. He brought up the raised the issue. What the hell does that mean? Raised the issue. If he raised an issue, why is he still in jail? To me, raising an issue is, hey, Mr. Mexican, we got one of our boys over here. He's one of our soldiers that fought in Afghanistan because those people attacked us. They killed 3,000 of our people when they hijacked some airplanes. You remember that? It was 9/11? I'm pretty sure you do. He's one of those guys that were out there fighting for us. He means a lot to us. What can we do to get him out? See, he wasn't over there for any intentions to harm Mexicans in any way. He got lost, and it's pretty easy to get lost. And we allowed a whole bunch of your citizens to get out of jail, rapists and murderers and child molesters, and they're free to roam our country, you know, much as they want, long as they vote Democrat. So, you know, what was it, 13,000 that we let out? I think you can let out one. 13,000 to one, I think that's a pretty fair deal. Why don't you let him out? Oh, you're not going to. Oh, okay, well, we're going to have some Marines. We're going to have some Marines come in there. We're going to bust them out. You try to fight us, you're going to lose. How about that? Did we do that? No. Should we? Yeah. He should have been out that freaking night. Well, he's still in a Mexican jail. Nothing's being done. Ambassador Stevens, Tyrone Woods, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, they're still dead. Their killers are still alive. But we sent out that Facebook post today. Big picture of the American flag. God bless America. Support our troops. Our VA hospitals are cooking the books. Make sure their life goes a lot easier. As long as they feel better, you know, they don't have to work hard, don't have to work late at night. They get off early. They can go to their little parties. The very people that they put on a list to die was out there fighting for these people so they could go have a goddamn barbecue. I'm sorry, but that is murder. The ones that didn't die were attempted murder. So when you go out there and you give a speech, Mr. President, that you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you're not going to tolerate this, you're going to fly halfway across the goddamn globe to talk to the troops in Afghanistan, prize visit. They're not interested in seeing you, Mr. President. They're not interested in your empty goddamn words. They're interested in the action. When I come back, when I get back home and I'm all messed up, I want to know my government's going to take care of me because I took care of them. That's what they want. They don't want any more speeches, no more slogans, no more sissy boys in their underwear drinking cocoa. What the hell was that? I mean, why would you, how does that, when you saw that, you saw that creepy looking dude with those glasses. I hate those glasses. I wish those would go out of style. But he's in his little pajamas there, a little pajama boy, old cocoa boy, sipping his cocoa, and let's talk about health care. What the hell? What does that have to do? What does pajamas and cocoa have to do with health care? First of all, if I needed health care, that would not entice me to buy it. But that would entice me to say,
I'll just go to the pharmacy and get some friggin' aspirin. I'm out of here. And none of that crap worked. And now there's reports they don't want the, where the hell is it? I got that somewhere. Well, it looks like Raquel's not calling in tonight, but we got her story anyway. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. If I can ever shut up and get to it. Let me see if we got that somewhere. I think I got it here, and if I don't, well, screw it. Let's get moving here, because we do have a lot to talk about, and I've been talking for a goddamn hour, and I haven't said anything yet. Now I forgot where the hell we were. But now we've got reports of bodies of 28 veterans. I mean, these guys get no friggin' respect when they're alive. No friggin' respect when they're out there on the battlefield. No friggin' respect when they come home and they're all messed up, missing limbs, and their brain's all a mess, or head injuries, this injuries, internal injuries, missing arms. Mentally, they're a little messed up, you know, watching their buddies get blown up and stuff. I mean, after a while, it's going to take a goddamn toll on you. Knowing full frickin' well that this was going to happen, first of all, the government should have bucked up. I mean, goddamn common sense would tell you, look, we're going to war. The numbers are going to be there. We're going to have a lot of people coming home. We need to buck up. Pretty sure the government could have done something. Did they? No. No. But now that they're dead, now these veterans are dead. A lot of them didn't have families. Nobody knew who they were. Sad, and it's tragic, man. 28 veterans. That's minimum. Probably a heck of a lot more. At a Los Angeles County morgue, finally are now about to receive a proper burial. I mean, this is how screwed up this is. I mean, the VA, between the VA and this coroner's office, now, to me, I don't know what the hell, whose actual fault it is. But with all the problems with the VA that we've been experiencing here lately, wouldn't surprise me a bit if the VA wasn't the reason. Maybe the coroner's office could have had a part in it too. About the VA, definitely. I'm pretty sure when it's all said and done. But KCAL, that's a station in Los Angeles County, pressed the LA County Coroner's Office Thursday to find out why they had 28 goddamn bodies had not yet received a burial. After a source indicated that there has been as many as 60 veterans at the morgue for the last year and a half. So these bodies are just sitting in the morgue. What are they, in the freezer? Just sitting there, decaying? What? I mean, what is... The morgue says the bodies were unclaimed and they don't know how long the veterans were there. How do you not know that you got a bunch of bodies piling up? I mean, you're tripping over them, you know, starting to stank. I mean, how do you not know that you've got 28 unaccounted for bodies? Look, I know morgues are pretty big. I've been to them. I was thinking when I was in high school I wanted to go to be a mortician and work in a funeral home. Place to go down there and just kind of help out a little bit and studied it a little bit. And then I got interested in a whole bunch of other things. But nevertheless, they're pretty big. But you'd be able to tell that you got a whole bunch of unaccounted for bodies. Somebody would have been able to pick up on that. Well, the law states, the law, we all know about laws. long as it benefits the Democrats, you follow it. If it doesn't, then it's racist. But the law does state, though, the veterans are supposed to receive a proper burial. But do they care about the law? No. Well, why? Well, because I got to get home. Why? Well, because I got a big barbecue to plan for Memorial Day. So I don't have time to stay here all and figure out who these veterans are. Find out who their next of kin is. Find out what to do with them. Give them a proper burial. We just put them on this list over here and, you know, put them back in the freezer. Let the next shift worry about it. But the Veterans Administration says they were never notified. What do you mean they were never notified? Of course they're never notified. We don't know, nobody notified us. Maybe you were talking to that one rogue employee we had, and he forgot to tell somebody. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, these guys are like freaking children. They're blaming, oh, it's not me, it's him. No, no, it's her. Mommy, he touched me. Jesus Christ, you little freaking children. By email. Nobody can talk to anybody anymore. Got to send out a tweet. By email, a stupid spokesperson. You can never hear from the person that you need to hear from. Person for the Los Angeles County Morgue pointed the finger at the VA. I mean, a morgue, for Christ's sakes. You need a spokesperson for the goddamn morgue? I mean, what are you kidding me? It's a morgue. Get one of them frickin' doctors up there and say what happened. Whoever's in charge. Somebody's got to be in charge of the morgue. I don't want to hear from a spokesperson. I'm tired of spokespeople. Well, they wrote there are about 60 descendants. Or descendants. Yeah, descendants. Decedents. That's the word I'm looking for. Dead people. Of probable veteran status that have awaited disposition for about a year as a result of personnel change in the Veterans Affairs Office. So a personnel change screwed everything up. Nothing could get done because they have personnel changes. And stringent identification eligibility processes required by the VA. That's like paperwork and all this extra makeup work. We need to cut down a lot of the staff. I mean, and have the right amount of staff. I mean, you don't need a whole bunch of office monkeys because the only thing they're doing is just shuffling papers from here to there. Everybody's doing the same job 14, 15 frickin' times. It's counterproductive and it's tedious. Don't hire any more people just to push papers and put this in, do that. I mean, it's crap. It's makeup work. The jobs are there just because it's a government job. Somebody wanted to win re-election, so they created a bunch of government jobs. They're do-nothing jobs, makeup work jobs. We don't need any more office monkeys. What we need are doctors and nurses. That's what we need. We need care. We don't need any more paper pushers, pencil humpers. God damn it. Copy this, copy that. Email this, email that. Shut up. But they hire all these people. That's how they keep their budget. Well, if we get rid of all these people, we won't get a high enough budget. Well, you don't need the budget if you don't have these many people working. Yeah, but I won't get paid as much. Oh, I see. That's right. You wanted to get that new boat. Yeah, I seen the picture of it. Yeah, you showed me. Yeah, that's a nice one. So, okay, you can keep the employees so we can rape the American taxpayer so you can get a new goddamn boat. Idiot. But Cindy Van Bibber, she's a VA spokesperson. She says, that's There's personnel changes every day, but that certainly doesn't take away from the service that we provide any veteran. Really? I mean, these people, do they understand what they're actually saying? I mean, when the VA's had a lot of problems here lately, but when they're coming out there and saying, oh, yeah, we provide all for the veterans if we do this and we do that. Al-Qaeda's on the run again, he says now. He's over there in Afghanistan. And he has the balls, the audacity. I mean, how did these people come out here and say this crap? He's out there telling the troops. Al-Qaeda's on the heels in this part of the world. They're on their heels again. Well, I wonder who they're going to attack next since Al-Qaeda's on their heels. I mean, why would he say that? Why would this president say this? I don't get it. Don't they communicate with each other? Doesn't he read the goddamn speech before he goes out there and says it? Or does he just read it cold? Does he go over the speechwriter and say, yeah, I want to give a speech. I want to say this and this and this. Is he engaged in the speech? We know he's not engaged in anything else. We know he wasn't engaged with Benghazi. Went up at 8 and then had a 2-hour phone call. And then after that, we don't know. I guess they were working on the next speech. Because he had to give a speech, you know, in the Rose Garden. Had to delay his trip to Las Vegas to get for a fundraiser. Now, first of all, now, look, I know fundraisers are important in campaigns. Okay, fine. They're all important. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody loves a good fundraiser. Oh, yeah, you get yourself all jazzed up. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, yes, we can. Yes, we can. But you just had your embassy attacked by Al-Qaeda. Doesn't matter if they're Al-Qaeda or not. They're attacked. That's terrorism. If somebody attacks your embassy, that's terrorism. That's an act of war. Those facilities are American soil. That's an act of war. So he goes upstairs and eats. Phone call. Then the next day he has to give a speech. Doesn't want to. He'd rather be on the plane. He'd rather be in Vegas. But he gives a speech. Then he hops on Air Force One and takes off. Now, knowing full well that you've got 4 Americans, and I'm pretty sure they knew that Ambassador Stevens at this point was raped and cattle prodded. Pretty sure somebody's seen the medical records. Those are secret. I'm pretty sure they are. Why would you go for a fundraiser? You think maybe you could have put that fundraiser up a couple of days? America just gets attacked by Al-Qaeda again, and you go to a fundraiser. A fundraiser. Well, he gave a speech at the Rose Garden, so that's fine. It shows he cares. Oh, okay. Well, that was a hell of a speech. No act of terror. Oh, no act of terror. See? Oh, I said it. Isn't that right, Candy? Well, that's true, Mr. President. Right here, I've got it right here. See, look at this paper; it says it right here. I mean, what the hell was that? I mean, was that kindergarten? I mean, what the hell? Well, now they're pissing on each other back and forth, the morgue and the VA, on what to do with these veterans. Well, here's what you do. You give these men the proper burial. The next time you got a bunch of bodies stacking up in your morgue, I don't know, do something. Now, if you called the VA, now this is a year and a half. So these bodies have been here. Some of them have been there over a year and a half. Don't you think at some point that you would make a bigger stink than just keep letting these bodies pile up? Pretty sure I would. If it was my morgue, I wouldn't just keep these bodies piling up. I'd be making a stink. So whose fault it is, I don't know. I don't know it's about fault. I just think it's not only is the system itself, you know, screwed up because you can't write in a job description common sense. You just need to have it. You can't put somebody's gratitude on paper, in a speech, on a tweet, or a Facebook post. You have to have it inside. That's where it counts, inside. Obviously, these people don't have it inside because nobody seemed to give a damn. It's just another stiff. Just another corpse. Just another number. Well, no, they're not. They're people. They're people. But they went out and they fought for you. Figure out a way, figure out something. But you don't just let bodies pile up. But they obviously don't have that inside. They don't have that gratitude of what that veteran went through. They don't have that inside. So they don't give a damn. So the bodies keep piling up and piling up and piling up. This is what I'm talking about. We don't have that inside. We don't have that inside on Memorial Day. It's not about what these men did, and women and children, and all of the wars that we have fought. We don't seem to have that anymore. Well, some do, but I mean the country as a whole doesn't seem to have that inside of what Memorial Day actually is, what these other days actually are. It's all about the party. It's all about the party. It's all about the day off. Oh, and I get paid too. It's a holiday. Well, yeah, it's a holiday, but there's a reason for the holiday. Do you know? No, they don't. And those that do don't seem to care. None of us do. We always take everything for granted. But I do understand the parades and the barbecues and all this. I do, and I get it. I get it. But that needs to come second. What you have inside here, the gratitude that you have inside here, that needs to come first. But you need to find it. Maybe you need to look for it. Maybe you never had it. Maybe you need to talk to a veteran. Find out what they went through. Maybe you might be able to appreciate a little something. All right, let's see what the hell else we got in here. The Obama White House now blows the cover of one of their CIA agents. Now, first of all, when a CIA agent is exposed, that's deliberate. That's never by accident. Never, never, never. That stupid Valerie Plame. Oh, that was such a joke. First of all, she wasn't a real CIA agent, and I never really believed her story from the very beginning. I just thought it was bogus. By all accounts, it looks that her husband was the one who actually outed her. But that Novak, I mean, that Novak should have known better. I never really was a big Novak fan. But if it was a CIA agent, he should have known better not to release the name. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around everywhere. But Scooter Libby didn't have a goddamn thing to do with it, but he got the blame for it. Why? Well, part of the Bush team. They couldn't get Karl Rove, and they couldn't get W., so they got old Scooter. As long as they get somebody. As long as they punish somebody. Somebody's got to pay. That's all they're about. Punish, punish, pay, pay. With a shut up. Not Valerie Plame, first of all. I mean, whatever. It just seems to me that they both got in on it together. Maybe she wanted to get outed. Phony outrage. She was outed, and she was this, and she was that, and blah, blah, blah. They were probably, I know the husband was pissed off at George Bush for going into Iraq, which, I mean, you could argue both ways, but I mean, to do something, I mean, I don't understand why, what the attack meant by outing his wife and by them coming out and throwing a fit. Are they trying to make it look just to bring down Scooter Libby? I mean, it just seems a little, you're going to go through all of that to bring down Scooter Libby, who didn't even have anything to do with it. So now Obama, one of his team, puts the top dude, the top spy, puts his name on some kind of list that goes to all of these frickin' reporters, 6,000 of the damn people. The list was circulated by email to reporters who traveled to Afghanistan with Obama and disseminated further when it was included in a pool report. Which means it goes to God and everybody. A summary of the event, meant to be shared with other news organizations, including foreign media, that were not taking part in the trip. So, everybody knows about this. So, when the White House released a list of names to news organizations of the senior U.S. officials participating in Obama's visit to Afghanistan, he's going to go out there and you know, let the troops know that he's behind them. Yeah, the president is behind you. All the way behind you. You go out there and you fight for me, I'm going to be in the rear with the gear. But those organizations of senior U.S. officials participating in Obama's visit to Afghanistan, they mistakenly, I don't buy that, not mistakenly, that was done on purposely, included the name of the highest-ranking CIA spy in the country. Putting the agent and his family in, well, danger. This was not an accident. If you are the top CIA spy, even a Valerie Plame, that name getting released is not accidental. There is no accident. I don't believe in accidents anyway. I just don't. And especially something like this, a CIA agent, and especially the top, the main guy. He gets outed, that's deliberate. Who actually did it? Well, obviously the White House, because it went through. Why do they want to oust him? Well, I'm sure we're going to find out later. I'm sure he probably voted Republican at one time, or God only knows what he did. Maybe he knows some information about Benghazi, and maybe he's going to spill the beans. I mean, who knows? Who the hell knows? But CIA agents don't get their names released, and they get outed by accident. It's deliberate. So whatever their reason is, the Obama administration for outing this guy, God only knows. We'll find out, I'm sure. Maybe we won't. We don't have that curious enough of a media that they don't want to rock the boat. Can't embarrass the king. I am starting to see a little bit, though, on the left. They're starting to get a little impatient. You know, reporters are starting to get a little impatient because they're treated, you know, even though they're on the left, they're still not treated very nice. All the pictures that you can take of the president have to be from his certain photographer. You can't take a picture of the president. Why? What is that picture going to do? But don't take pictures of him sitting on his on his ass with his feet propped up on the desk and everybody else standing around him. Like, that looks like he's really working. Well, let me tell you something. When you got your feet on your desk and you're leaned back and in your chair, that ain't working. Okay, that's relaxing. When you're president and you're in the Oval Office and you're at the desk, you're working. You're not relaxing. So get your goddamn feet off the desk, straighten up your frickin' tie, and get to work. But the Washington Post reported the story, and they agreed not to publish the name of the CIA chief, which that's good. Good for them. At the request of the Obama officials, who warned that the officer and his family could be at risk if the name was published. Well, yeah, that's true. And, of course, the CIA and the White House both refused to comment. They're not going to comment on this. Of course not. But that's fine that the Washington Post didn't report it or didn't publish the name. But you sent it to 6,000 frickin' people. Pretty sure one of those people is going to say something to somebody about something. So, guy's now in frickin' hiding. Going to have to change his name. I don't know. God only knows what they're going to have to do. But why did that happen? How did that happen? How do you just get a name on a list? And why would his name be on there? We can't get the names of the CIA people that were in Benghazi, but we can get the top spy through an email that God and everybody gets. But we can't get the names of the people that were in Benghazi in the CIA, because they might tell somebody about all the weapons deals that were being made. No, this is one of those stories I don't buy for one goddamn second. This man was outed for whatever particular reason. He pissed off the king. Something happened somewhere, but those names do not just get out. Especially a top spy. First of all, a top spy, you shouldn't know his frickin' name anyway. Nobody should know his name. I mean, it's like the NSA with that Snowden. I mean, here this guy is, been on the job for, what, 3 months or something? Able to walk in, get all these passwords from all these people that have been there for God knows how long, steal a whole bunch of information, fly off to Hong Kong, then fly off to Russia. Yeah, what Snowden did, was it wrong? Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we're finding out the information that he found out. So, I mean, there's that. But I didn't like the fact that he went to China, and I didn't like the fact that he went to Russia. That right there pisses me off. If he'd have taken that information and gone somewhere else with it, I don't know. Stay in the United States somehow, I don't know. Give the information to somebody else and let them put their name to it. If you really cared about it, that's, you know, something that God only knows, something. But my biggest problem with this whole NSA is, how was he allowed to get that information? I mean, there's protocols. I mean, when I was in the Navy, there were protocols for every friggin' thing. I mean, there are chances of you getting some information that you weren't supposed to get. There's reasons for it. But this is supposed to be the biggest spy agency in the friggin' world. And a guy who doesn't even have a high school diploma, who's been on the job for 3 months, can take all the nation's secrets and fly off into China and Russia. Did anybody lose their job? Well, I think somebody resigned, which means they get to collect their pension now. There should have been a lot of heads rolling. But Obama doesn't seem to care. Oh, yeah, he made a speech. But, I mean, that not only hurt us here in America, but that hurt us around the globe more than you could really imagine. So why were there not protocols set up where people can't just go up and take this kind of information? Did you want that information getting out? I mean, I just have to wonder sometimes, does this president really want this stuff coming out? Obviously, that CIA spy, his name is out for a reason. Those spies don't get outed for a rogue employee or, well, it was an accident. It was a clerical error. It was a typo. Well, I sent it to the wrong people. Well, I don't know what happened. I spilled coffee on my keyboard. God damn it. Well, the VA now looks like they're trying to go to private hospitals for help. What? You should have been doing that like a long time ago when you realized that you didn't have enough goddamn beds. Instead of putting these people on a private list, you should have said, somebody should have said, hey, wait a minute, we got all these people. Is there a way, is there another hospital somewhere? Can we like rent a little part? Can we work with these people? They're hospitals. Don't hospitals help people? I thought. But this should have been done a long time ago. None of this crap should even be in the goddamn news, but is it? Yep. What's being done? Well, we've got some speeches. We got a bunch of them. And the president traveled all the way to Afghanistan to give a speech. But he didn't mention the VA scandal. He just hinted on it. He's going to do everything in his power. Because I've got my pen. And I've got my phone. And if you need care, you can call me up 24/7. So, Mr. President, I need some health care. Okay. Well, the VA, Department of Veterans Affairs, says it will let more veterans obtain health care at private hospitals. The VA Secretary Eric Shinseki, I can never pronounce his stupid name, Shinseki. Shinseki, that's what it is. Shinseki. Yeah. I know he's a vet. I know he's well respected. I know there's a lot of people that like him. And I know a lot of vets really seem to like him. However, if you were hired to take over the VA because you had all these problems, it's very difficult for me to believe that this Mr. Shinseki did not know of the specific problems in the specific veterans administrations that were having these problems. It is very difficult for me to believe that this man did not know those problems existed. Now, why did he not do anything? Don't tell me that he did, because these have been going on for how long? These are problems. This is a problem. First of all, it is very easy to fix. Here's what you do. You never, ever put a veteran or anybody, a human being, on a secret list. You don't ever do that. If you, the hospital administrator, realize that you have more patients and not enough beds, you need to find some beds. You need to get creative. You got to build a temporary wing out back and do it. If it's a nice day, set up a tent. You got to do what you got to do. And if you can't do it, you need more firepower. Well, you call up this Eric Shinseki, whatever. This Shinseki, knowing full well that they had all these problems, has had been on the job for what, 4 or 5 years now? God only knows. 2009, whenever he got in, 10, whenever. Don't you think these problems should have been corrected? It shouldn't take very long. those veterans that are at home that don't have a doctor who need to get a doctor. Those lists need to go away. Those people that put people on lists, they need to go to jail. That's murder. Period. It's murder and attempted murder. So they need to, all of them, every one of those people that had anything to do with those lists should be charged with the attempted murders of all those that are still living and the murders of those that are dead. Call that a frickin' day. But people come to this guy's defense, you know, I mean, the more I learn about what's going on with the VA, I can't come to this Shinseki's defense. He should have been able to clean up the mess. But did he? No. No. Too busy making speeches, looking good, saying all the right things in public, signing all the right papers, you know, going to all the right luncheons, shaking all the right hands. Knowing full well, Mr. Shinseki, that these problems existed, you and the president both knew these problems existed, and you were hired to fix them, and you didn't. By that, you might as well yourself been to put these men on the list. I don't care if you're a veteran or not. You let your team down, man. You let your fellow soldiers down, man. You left them on the battlefield. That's what you did. Buddies on the battlefield, man. That ain't right, man. We got to get this out of our culture, this just leave every man behind kind of crap. I mean, I don't understand that. Leave no man behind should be, that should just be an automatic. You shouldn't even have to, you know, to use it as a battle cry. It should just be something that you do. If that's one of yours, man, you don't leave him behind. Those are one of ours, man. Those are the good guys. We don't leave them behind. Ever. I mean, the president, he leaves, God only knows how many people. He still hasn't sent the military in Benghazi. He left them there. All by themselves. No, I got to go eat. Then I got a phone call, and then I got to go to sleep. Valerie's taking over. But what they're doing to the veterans, what they're doing to people. I mean, what's going on with the VA? You think that's a mess. And it is a mess. Okay, now that's going to be into every hospital across the nation. Why? Obamacare. This is what happens when you get the government involved. The government shouldn't be involved in very little. They need to get out of the health business. They definitely need to get out of that education business. Of what they're doing, I mean, first of all, No Child Left Behind, then Common Core, then this and that. And the stupid first ladies out there with their goddamn lunch program that none of the kids want. It tastes like cardboard, number one. And number two, there isn't enough. Kids are going hungry. I'm sorry, kids got to eat. A lot of kids eat a hell of a lot more than adults because adults don't need to eat as much because they're not growing. They're not burning off the food. No, but you can't be obese. Enough of the obesity. So what if the kid's fat? Okay, fine. If you can't accept this kid for being fat, then what does that say about you? And you got to put a note on him and embarrass him, send him home to his mother, and now you got to get the DCF involved. Oh, you got an obese kid? Oh, that means you don't care. We got to take the child away from you. You will never see that child again until he's skinny. I mean, what the hell? Government needs to get out of our lives. And you're starting to see pockets of resistance. You got the Operation American Spring. You've got other groups popping up. America's not taking it anymore. This VA, this seems to be uniting a certain group. There's still some stragglers on that are going to die hard, going to defend this king no matter frickin' what. But you don't do this to veterans. We do not leave any of our men behind. When I say men, I mean humans. Men, women, children, period. If you're an American, you are never left behind. That should be our motto. And to close tonight out, I want to play this song. I know I played it before. It's kind of a sad song, but it's a happy song, but I wouldn't say happy. But it's a somber song. But it makes you think inside here. And that's what this day is about. This day is about giving thanks of what you have in here. You know, appreciate those that did so much so you didn't have to. And you could live a better life because of what they did. And that's what this song is about. When a soldier makes it home. We'll see you back tomorrow night.
So here's a song for some friends. Like a lot of folk songs, this one is not just overdue, but already outdated. Wrote it before the war in the Gulf was getting thought about. But I think the feeling holds up. It goes something like this. In a strange and foreign land, a soldier packs his memories as he leaves Afghanistan. Back home they don't know too much, there's just no way to tell. I guess you had to be there for to know.
The night is coming quickly, and the stars.